Preparing for Marriage, Talk 4. Whenever you enter into a contract with someone, it's important to read the small print so that you know what the whole deal is and what you can expect if something goes wrong. In a few weeks' time, you will be entering into a special kind of contract with each other. You're going to make some very serious promises. They're called vows because they are of the utmost seriousness. They're solemn. And you will say them to each other before God. Well, it's very important before you do that to fully understand what the deal is with marriage, what you're committing yourself to, and what the score is when things go wrong, as they do in all marriages. On the big day, having declared individually your willingness to marry each other, you will then publicly state how things will be from that day on. You will vow to stick together, for better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health. Those short, simple phrases are huge and far-reaching in a way that you may not be able to imagine today. You will only realise their extent when you're up against it, when you hit a rough patch, when you're not sure that you want to be married, at least not to each other, when one of you is ill for a long time and the other has to care and cook and clean, when one of you does something that is harmful to your relationship. You see, the promises that you will make are long-term. That vow you will make continues with the words, to love and to cherish, till death us do part. You are in effect saying to each other, whatever life throws at us, whatever happens, better or worse, I'm going to be committed to you and love you for life. So when you are asked on your wedding day, if you are willing to take the other as your husband or wife, you are really being asked if you are willing to make that level of commitment. And if you are, you will reply, I will. You won't say, I do, which Hollywood seems to insert into weddings at this point. Anyone can say, I do, on one single day when their partner is looking like $1 million. But you are required to say, I will. It's an answer which points to the future, to a time when you like the look of someone else, or perhaps when your spouse won't look great, when they've put on 20 pounds, or when for whatever reason they are not able to be what you would like them to be, or provide what you would like them to provide. But you will still love them and remain committed to them. That is what marriage is, unconditional, total commitment for life. And that is what you will promise to each other when you make those vows. If you're not sure that this is for you, it's best to pull out of this contract before you say those words. One of the reasons that marriage is for life is because marriage reflects God's relationship with his people. God is utterly faithful to his people. He hates adultery, not least because he is a faithful God. And so when God makes a promise, he always keeps it. And we're going to spend a few minutes now considering one of the promises that God makes. So far, through this little course, we have seen that God made everything, including marriage, and that he is therefore in charge. We also saw that he actually came into the world in the person of Jesus. However, we saw in session 2 that we have all ignored God and his right to be in charge over us. We think we know best, and that is why the world and our lives are in such a mess, and why our relationships with God and each other are broken. One day, God will judge us and punish those who insist on ignoring him. Thankfully, that's not all. Last time we heard how Jesus came into the world to rescue us. Dying on a cross, he was cut off from God in our place. But more than that, Jesus rose from the dead, which means that he's not only able to offer us forgiveness and a relationship with God through his death, but he is also able to offer us eternal life through his resurrection. It leaves us with a choice. The Bible says we have two options. I'm going to read to you from John chapter 3 and verse 36. You can find it on page 18 of the study guide. says this: "Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him." The first option is to reject Jesus. This means to continue living our own way, thinking that we know better than God, and so living our lives without him. Sadly, this is what so many people choose to do. But it's a huge mistake. Jesus tells us why in that verse. It's a mistake because God's wrath remains on us. Wrath is God's right, fair, and controlled anger at our rebellion against him. Jesus is saying that if we choose to ignore his rescue, then God will rightly remain angry with us, and we will not have the life or forgiveness that he offers to those who believe and trust in him. Makes sense, doesn't it? If we are unwilling to accept that Jesus has taken the rap for us, then we'll have to take it ourselves. And those who ignore Jesus will be condemned for rejecting his right as God to rule over our lives. They will get what they deserve and what they have chosen: eternity cut off from God. It's what the Bible calls hell. Well, what I've just described is terrible and terrifying, but it would be wrong to hide it. But there is another option. The other option is to believe in Jesus. For those who realise that they are living in God's world but ignoring him, God holds out this lifeline and promise. He says, "If you believe in my Son, you will have eternal life." Why? Well, because he accepts his Son's death as payment for our sin. He is therefore able to forgive us and no longer regard us as rebels, but as his children. Believing in Jesus means two things, really. First, it means trusting in what Jesus did on the cross. Trusting that by his death, my sin is dealt with and I can be forgiven and put right with God. Second, it means trusting Jesus as Lord, or as my boss. Recognising that as Lord and God, Jesus is in charge of everything. Therefore, rather than living for myself, I will want Jesus to be in charge of every part of my life, how I spend my time, how I conduct my marriage and all other relationships, how I behave, my attitude to money, sex, booze, children, everything. Those two options could not be more different: rejecting Jesus and living for myself, or believing in Jesus and living for him. Well, this brings us to a sort of fork in the road, because everyone at some point has to decide which way they are going to live. By doing nothing, you are still rejecting Jesus. Obviously, we live in a world where rejecting God and his Son is the norm. So believing in Jesus is not easy, but that does not mean that it's wrong. On the contrary, one day Jesus will be our judge, and John 3 verse 36 tells us that our response to Jesus now makes the difference between eternal life then or God remaining angry with us forever. In summary, believing in Jesus brings the promise of forgiveness and eternal life, which is what we all crave in our hearts, and a right relationship with the God who made us. And it is that relationship with God through Jesus that is actually the key to a great marriage. It is Jesus who shows a husband and wife how to relate to each other in a truly loving, sacrificial and committed way. More than that, if you cast your mind back to our first two sessions, you may remember that the first ever domestic between a husband and wife came about when the man and woman ignored God and broke their relationship with him. Their relationship with each other was much better before they did that. Well, Jesus offers us the chance to get right with God, and I would suggest that there is no better preparation for married life than getting put right with the God who made you and who is the author of marriage. Whoever believes in the Son has eternal life, but whoever rejects the Son will not see life, for God's wrath remains on him. That's the promise of God. That is the commitment God makes to us. I wonder if, as you embark on a new life together, you want the new life, the eternal life, that Jesus holds out to those who believe in him. It's basically an offer to be a guest at the best wedding reception ever, the wedding of the model bridegroom, Jesus Christ, to his bride, the church, in heaven. It's going to be a great party. I do hope you'll be there.